Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Hi, I'm Sean Haney, and welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Today, we're going to talk about taxes, and more specifically, the tax changes that were proposed by the federal government in the fall of 2017. Now, you heard a lot about this in the mainstream media, a lot of talk about creating a more fair tax system in Canada. One of the industries that's really going to be impacted is agriculture. So we're going to really talk about this today and really provide you with some guidance on what does it actually mean for your farm business. What do you need to know about these changes? And does it actually change when or why you should be incorporating your farm business? So to break it all down for us, our guest is Dean Klippenstein from Myers Norris Penny. Dean, how's it going today?
Real good. Thanks very much.
So Dean, what do you do at MNP? What's your role?
I'm an ag advisor helping clients in periods of transition, change, and guiding their business in the long term. We have a large pool of talent in the firm focused on the day-to-day accounting function. And then there's a core group of advisors who really consult to the clients depending on their needs.
Okay. So this whole fall, there was a lot of national attention back in 2017 on incorporating. In a lot of farm businesses, there is that consideration. Do I stay as a sole proprietorship or should we incorporate? And that answer is not necessarily like a broad brush. Every farm is a little bit different. But let's talk a little bit about this idea of when you should be incorporating. When does it best fit your farm? When a client approaches you, what are some of those questions that you ask them back in terms of making that decision whether or not to incorporate?
Well, what we do is we take a snapshot of what their current balance sheet and financial life looks like today. And incorporation is not a loophole. It's not a gimmick. It's not magic. It's really a deferral plan that allows small businesses to, not just farms, but all small businesses, to grow and reinvest in their business without being crushed by a personal tax burden. So I'm really glad we're having this interview today because there's a lot of misnomers out there about the effect of these changes and how they affect farm incorporation specifically. But the fundamental tool has not been changed, nor is it the government's intent to change that tool. In an actual fact, they've enhanced it because they've lowered the small business tax rate.
Yeah, very low. Like it's going to be in a couple of years, it'll be 9.5%. Is that right?
That's the federal portion.
Oh, okay.
So in Saskatchewan, I believe we're going to be at 11.5% next year for our tax rate. So the fundamentals of it is that if there's dollars in your farm that you've grown and profited, if you want to use that to grow and reinvest in land is a great example. You get to buy more land with after-tax dollars paying 12% tax versus 40% plus in personal rates. Mm-hmm. So that's the key. And what I want people to know and understand is that tool is still available. It's been enhanced. And it really is a great wealth-building tool and asset for farms, especially when you look at intergenerational.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, if I give you $10 or if I give you $100 today and you pay $12, then you have $88 left to invest. So if you were going to buy a piece of farmland for $88, and if I tried to do that personally, if you give me $100 and I pay $40, I can only buy $60 of farmland. So you can see in pretty short order, you're going to be able to accumulate more assets in your operation than I am, because every time you invest $88, I invest $60. And so that is great for your and my lifetime. But imagine using that tool to build family wealth that's really going to be used by your kids and grandkids.
And listen, farmers in Canadian agriculture think that way, right? They're thinking about not just about what taxes they're going to pay in 2018 here, but they're thinking about, you know, their kids, their grandkids. Those things come into the consideration.
Absolutely. And you see land, we have not been we have not seen those intergenerational moves to the extent Central Canada has. There's been farms already in 100, 200, 300-year farms in Central Canada, whereas we're just on the cusp of that in Western Canada. But it is a real consideration, and it is a very, very real goal for most of our operators, is that this be a legacy asset, whether it may be operated by them eventually or simply rented out. But it's a primary goal and objective for a good number of our farm clients.
Yeah. So in terms of that question of incorporation, is it really, you know, you mentioned the succession part of it, an intergenerational transfer. Also, the amount of tax that you will be paying. Are there any other considerations that come into this question of whether I should be incorporating or not?
Well, there's still obviously a size and complexity debate and consideration, where if it's going to save me, if my farm is on the smaller side and it's going to save me $5,000 a year in tax, but it's going to cost me $6,000 a year in professional fees,
yeah,
then the cost-benefit trade-off is not there.
No, thank you.
But for a number of the operations, the agriculture has a luxury of not having to predict future profits to make a corporation be valuable. Because with cash basis accounting, there's simply a good number of farms today, not a good number of farms. All farms today have a substantial amount of their net worth and wealth yet untaxed.
Right.
Their machinery and grain and cattle inventory is not taxed. So just the liquidation of that is a really good litmus test to say, if I sold those assets today, what would my tax bill look like personally? And what would it look like corporately? So we don't have to do very much guessing in the cost-benefit analysis. Even if the farm never made any more money in the short term, the liquidation of the current assets would make it well worthwhile incorporating.
We're going to have more of this conversation with Dean Klippenstein of Myers Norris Penney right after a word from our sponsor.
This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. While there is no way to eliminate all business risks you'll face, creating a sound risk management strategy will help mitigate some of the more common ones and give your business a leg up. The agriculture banking specialists at RBC Royal Bank can help set your farm up for success. Visit rbc.com/agriculture to find an ag specialist near you.
What do you see as the trend? Is the trend, you know, if you, as you look at, and I know you can speak to your client base, not others, but as you're at the different trade shows, is the trend to more and more people thinking about or being incorporated versus not, or is that trend? Is there really no trend there at all?
It is a trend, and it's been steadily and continually increasing. And part of the driving force of that is, the wealth created in excess of spending needs personally is used for investment. So the spending needs personally are higher than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when the graduated tax rates have not changed, the brackets have not moved near to the extent inflation has. With the secondary factor of that is farmland prices. Now, Saskatchewan has been behind the curve versus the other provinces for a number of years on farmland values. But Saskatchewan is really what I would say done a pretty significant catch up in the last decade.
You're doing a good job of catching up.
Yeah. And so it really becomes, there's not much of an option or debate for most operations today. If you're a young growing entrepreneur trying to buy land at these prices, it's virtually impossible to do it personal tax rates.
That's very true.
The necessity, because $1 million does not buy you as much land as it once did. So to try to pay $1 million of debt is a substantial task to do with a 12% tax rate, and it's not impossible, but a very painful process to try to do it at 40% tax rates.
Well, and I would ask, why would you try to do that at 40%? As the government proposed some of the changes, and there was all this debate going on, and I went to a couple sessions, and of course on social media there was lots of discussion. I just I'm curious, right? And so there's people that were really defending, no, I don't want to be incorporated. And I would continually sort of ask the question, I'm just trying to get inside your head, the why. So I'll ask you that question now is, okay, so are there good reasons to not be incorporated? I'll reverse the question on you.
Prior to these proposed changes, there was no good reason to not be incorporated, barring making sure we hit the cost benefit.
Yeah, we're broad brushing it here.
No reason not to be incorporated. There is some consideration, depending on what changes are going to come in the future, in the upcoming budget, in the upcoming federal budget. They have talked about the tax treatment of rental income as it relates to farm.
That's the passive income part?
Passive income component. Would make us have some consideration if someone said, if someone came into our office or any one of our good competitors' offices and said today they were going to retire in 2 years and rent their farmland out to a neighbor, we would have some more consideration about that today than we would have historically because of the tax treatment, the double taxation potential of rental income, passive income.
Okay, and that is one of the three prongs, right, of the tax changes was the passive income component. I think there's a lot of people who are sort of like, asking, you know, being honest, but like, what's passive income? But we know now.
Yeah, the industry learned, and because we're now seeing a generation that is going to retire, not liquidate their land in many cases, or in what I would argue most cases.
That's the trend again.
That this passive will affect retiring farmers quite significantly, and so there's some more consideration. I'd want to wait and see the details to come out in the budget before I'd give advice to people in that situation.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's the other thing I've heard a number of different farmers say is like, okay, we had our succession plan in place, how we were going to handle this intergenerational transfer. We need to see if there are any of these changes that once they're more solidified and we know exactly what's happening, we may need to look back and rethink, make some adjustments potentially. That I've heard a number of different farmers say that.
Yeah, there was absolutely some sound debate and discussion around how it affects transitions, more so on farms that are to be purchased.
Okay.
Versus transferred at lower or insignificant values relative to the size of the operation.
Yep.
Because the tax-free rollover changes. The tax-free rollover provision for qualified farm property did not change, nor had they been contemplated in changing. So the intergenerational component, I believe, was a little overblown in the industry.
Okay.
As far as how it affected farms. If farmer tomorrow passed away, even with the new rules, and their farm assets were going to their children, corporately or personally, they still were able to transfer with no tax, as long as it was a Canadian resident. Child that it was going to.
And this isn't necessarily an accounting question, but with the incorporation, there has to be some of the consideration there too is liability reduction as well.
That's fair, and it's more significant than it used to be. Although in comparison to other industries, it's really still a low.
Okay.
A low. That would, in many industries, you'd incorporate for that reason, even without tax considerations. I would argue in agriculture, given our history and lack of evidence of that being a significant concern and risk, you'd have a tough time arguing to incorporate simply for that reason in a farm world.
Right, yeah. Well, we got a lot of time to worry about stuff, sometimes on the tractor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dean, this has been a really, really great discussion. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's this whole idea of incorporation definitely got a lot of press in the mainstream media. Some of it as, you know, not necessarily fair. I think there's a lot of good, sound business reasons to incorporate, not necessarily, some of the words used were, you know, cheat and things like that. That is, they're for the most part, farms are looking to manage their operations with from a business sense, and that's first and foremost. I think that's one of the key things to take home from all of this.
Absolutely, and remember, these are tools used across a number of industries in the same basic concept. Agriculture, in my view of the world, because so much of our capital is stored in land, they get the bang for the buck on farms incorporating is tremendous.
Good point. I like how you finished that off. That's good. Dean Klippenstein from MNP, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Lots of information there to consider, take hold of, and try to really think about as you come up with your farm business tax plan. Now, taxes are not really simple, and to be honest with you, I have a hard time myself getting my head wrapped around some of these changes, but it was great to hear from Dean and get a clear perspective of someone that's really, really on top of these issues. You can find more episodes of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. And once again, thank you to RBC Rural Bank for their sponsorship of this podcast. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.